Ask yourself, do you want to be famous?
Ha 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 ha. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me, the B.I.G. I put my key.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Cindy's Birthday Party, the hip-hop podcast that examines rap music and hip-hop culture from a philosophical and historical perspective. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Danny, and I'm here with my boy, Big E.
How y'all doing today? Just here chilling. We finna share some things about beefs with you good folks.
Yes, we are. And normally we have a third co-host, our boy, Zay. He's not here today. He's a little under the weather. So while he's recuperating at home, we just want to tell him, you know, we're thinking about you. So Zay, we'll get you on the next episode, I'm sure. So
yes,
shout out to him.
Shout out to Zay. Hey, man, feel better. Get well soon, brother.
He's home taking a bunch of Percocets right now. Contributing to the opioid crisis.
Right, just chewing them up, you know. Got a whole bowl of them in front of him watching a movie.
Right.
Eating them like popcorn.
Right, like some M&Ms. Yeah, probably got different colors of them and everything.
Right.
No, but, you know, we just obviously if he's on painkillers, but because of medical procedures, not because he's trying to be a drug addict or anything.
No, we're obviously
just joking.
Yes.
But before we get started, I just want to say to everybody, please like and subscribe. And you can do that. You can follow us at iTunes, Cindy's Birthday Party, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, our website, cindysbirthdayparty.com. Instagram, it's at Cindy's Birthday Party, all one word. On Twitter, it's at Cindy's BDP. That's Cindy's birthday. The BDP stands for Birthday Party. Right.
Not Boogie Down Productions.
Not Boogie Down Productions. Exactly.
Don't want any kind of copyright things coming back at us.
We don't want KRS in here looking us in the face asking us what's up.
Unless we interviewing him.
Right.
That would be dope.
That would be really dope.
Really dope.
So if somebody out there knows KRS-One and you want to get him in here, hey, we wouldn't be mad at you.
At all.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to do, E, is I just wanted to give a birthday shout out to someone who's no longer physically here, but today is Eazy-E's birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that I did not know. As you mentioned earlier before we got started, I had no idea it was Eazy-E's birthday. But shout out to Eazy-E. Happy birthday to you up in West.
No doubt. And he would have been 55 years old today, which is amazing because you'd never think of Eazy as, you know, what would he look like at 55?
That puts me on a whole different subject. There's going to be a whole lot of rappers when they turn a certain age. You're going to wonder, like, what are they going to look like? Lil Wayne comes to mind.
Oh, man, that one's going to be scary, I believe.
Baby, some other people. You know, there's a whole lot of them out here.
Oh, yeah, especially these dudes with face tattoos.
Face, right. Yeah.
They're going to really look crazy. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking about Eazy-E as, like, would he have some gray in his Jerry curl? You know? I mean, I would assume he would no longer have a Jerry curl at this point.
I would hope not at this point, but yes. Somehow I imagine him still having one and it's gray and he's still got, like, a Raiders hat on and a Raiders jacket. Same stuff he had from back in the day, you know.
It's funny because we always, you know, the last time we saw him, of course, he was still a very young man and he always had a youthful face anyway.
Right.
So it's just when you think of him being 55, if he was still here, that's just always something that kind of blows my mind a little bit. Yeah. But folks, for today's topic, we are going to discuss something that we know a lot of people will love. And that is hip hop beefs, rap beefs. And how they have influenced and kind of controlled and really redirected the genre in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rap beef. Some of them have just been entertaining. Some of them have been career ending for some people. Some of them have catapulted the careers of others.
Yeah, and actually some of them seemingly have been life ending, as we know of one in particular that we will touch on.
Yes, we will. That one is... Still to this day, man, there's so many things about that just...
A lot of questions.
Yes.
You sit back and wonder, like, how could it have gone that far? you know a lot of beefs go far, but, man, come on.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are like that. We'll touch on that, definitely.
Yes. So if we look at beefs, if we kind of start with the earliest beef, and not just battle, but at actual where it actually was some animosity involved. Let's back up a little bit. So we know, like in the early days, a lot of times a group would come out with a record, and then someone would come out with a response record. You know, not necessarily really being kind of being mean spirited or anything, just kind of like a good natured poke. You know, maybe taking your words and flipping it, yeah, that sort of thing. Like Run DMC came out with Sucker MCs, and what's the female MC that Marley Marl had? Dimples D came out with Sucker DJs.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it wasn't a diss at Run DMC or anything. It was really just a play on words for what they had done with a similar beat. Salt and Pepper responds to Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, the
True.
Show,
yeah,
with
the
Showstopper.
Right,
you know?
With the Showstopper, right.
Right. You know, but again, nothing nasty about that.
Right, nothing at all.
You know, yep. Until Shantae comes along.
who is somewhat the definition of animosity, seems to take everything
all the time
personal.
All the Shantae does not play. Roxanne Shantae. So UTFO, and we've discussed this on another episode that we had, but UTFO comes out with their big hit, Roxanne, Roxanne. Right. And Full Force, who produced the song, had intended for there to be a response record made. They were going to do it themselves with their own girl, who was going to be Roxanne, who we later know is the real, quote unquote, the real Roxanne. But what they didn't realize is that Marley Marl was planning to do the same thing with a 14-year-old little smart mouth girl out of Queensbridge by the name of Shantae, who wasn't even named Roxanne, by
exactly.
the way. Her name
right.
is just Shantae. But she goes up there and makes a diss record and goes at the entire crew. And it starts what we call a Roxanne Wars.
Right.
But it's significant because it kind of takes hip-hop really through 84, 85, along with Run DMC. Those are like the two biggest things in that period.
And that's true. That was early hip-hop. And that beef, so to speak, with the Roxanne UTFO thing kind of was, it was a few songs that kind of helped fill out the lack of other hip-hop songs. So there's UTFO, mm-hmm. there's Roxanne's response, then there's some other response, and then there's another one after that, you know, et cetera, and along with, like you say, Run DMC and some other scattered artists here and there.
Right.
It kind of carries us for like a whole year. So
it does, and you know, and because there were, I don't know how many Roxanne response records there were, but there was a whole bunch of, you know, there's the real Roxanne, and there's Sparky D, and then there's the parents of Roxanne, Roxanne's grandmama,
yeah.
Roxanne's baby. You know, like some of it was getting ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And, you know, and it just, people just jumping in and piling on.
Right. Trying to capitalize on the whole Roxanne phenomenon, I guess if you want to call it
that. Yeah, and it really was a phenomenon at that time, you know. And I think for the sake of sanity, I think the ones that you can really count, obviously the first song, Roxanne, Roxanne.
Right.
Roxanne's Revenge. Maybe the real Roxanne response and Shantae's response to her,
mm-hmm.
because Shantae basically destroyed her.
Yes.
It was something about, what was it about Shantae's voice and her attitude that just made you feel like,
God, man.
She's going to, you know, like this girl is just made for trash talking and just coming at people.
Yeah, yeah. Her voice was, as most of you know, especially you old heads who remember Roxanne, you know, of course, her music is not really played a lot, nor unless you yourself know it, but she had that raspy, young, high-pitched, annoying voice that you could actually see, like, some dude having her as a girlfriend, and he's just standing there with the facial expression like,
she just letting him have it.
Right, and she just poking him in the head and just talking trash to him, and he just standing there like, God, why am I with her? But combine that with very good rapping skills off the top of the head, and you get this whirlwind of like, of just like good hip hop, actually, which, you know,
and
she was actually pretty good at.
She was, and the crazy part is both the producers of the original Roxanne song, Full Force, and the group UTFO, both admitted that she caught them totally off guard.
Yep.
They had no idea she was getting ready to come at, not just that there was going to be a response song, but that she was going to come at them like that.
And the way she did, yeah, because they had no answer.
Yeah, UTFO, I think UTFO didn't even want to. Didn't they do a song like She's a Crab or something like that?
Yeah, I remember that. Now I remember that one.
But it's
yeah.
it's not like the thing that's remembered
at all
from that period. It's just basically, if you look at everybody that was involved, all of the different answer records, Shantae is what really stands out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To me, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Out of all
hands
of them.
Down. Yeah, yeah. All you remember is Roxanne by UTFO, and then her response back, and her clap back is just
yeah. At
hard.
Everybody.
Yeah. All of them. Everybody you know, got a turn.
They did.
They everybody. Really did. Kango Kid, Dr. Ice, all of them.
Yeah, everybody got it. And it's the interesting part about it, too, I believe, is that, you know, she's a member of the Juice Crew.
Right.
And the Juice Crew was not, they were always, it seemed like, embroiled in some kind of controversy with other people. You know, they remember MC Shan had the song Beat Biter where he claimed that LL stole his beat.
Yes.
And, you know, and he goes at LL. Like, I don't. Did LL ever respond to that? I don't remember if he did or not.
Yeah, but I don't remember that either.
But I just remember that. And then, of course, the Bridge Wars.
Yes, we will step into that one. That was kind of next on the list.
Do you want to just go into how this whole thing
just
started?
Brief thing with that. Initially, of course, as we discuss here at Cindy's birthday party, hip hop started in the Bronx with Kool Herc and his DJing his sister Cindy's birthday party in 1973. Thus, this is considered the birth of hip hop. Well, later on down the line, here comes this crew from Queens, known as the Juice Crew. And I don't know if they were actually the Juice Crew then, maybe when Marley Marl first got started, but he had him, he had Roxanne, who was one of his first artists, and he had MC Shan. MC Shan made a couple of albums and made a record, and his claim was that supposedly hip-hop started in Queens.
But now, to Shan's, in his defense, he says he never claimed that hip-hop started in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, this is just telling our story of how when we got started with it here in Queens, but not that the music started there.
Yeah, when he makes it, and my memory, of course, slipping this bridge, of course, is the song.
Yes. The bridge.
Yeah, no doubt. And he, you know, you love to hear the story again and again of how it all got started way back when.
Yep.
And this is right there. And then it kind of sounds, you could actually take it as, hey, wait a minute, what's he talking about? It all got started way back when.
Right.
And that's exactly how, you know, the Bronx people kind of took it.
The Bronx people being KRS-One and Scott LaRock specifically. Yeah. I think that is what I call an intentional misunderstanding.
I
think in a lot of ways they knew that Shan wasn't talking about them.
Right. But we're going to make it.
Right.
He's talking about us. That way we can get our foothold in the game. And they actually managed to do that. So with that, you get the BDP and the Juice Crew Wars. And which is interesting, in New York at the time, this started involving radio stations that were in New York, BLS, WBLS, and 98.7, KISS FM. And so even the rival DJs later on, this was right about 87 or so, 8 through 86, 87, 88, right through the time when we was in high school, you had Mr. Magic and Marley Marl going up against Red Alert and Chuck Chillout. And it was always some back and forth, which was great for hip hop because at the time, most of us guys were getting. Shout out to Dwayne Perry once again.
Yes, shout out to Dwayne Perry,
Mixtape King.
Without his presence, many of us growing up in that part of South Carolina would have never heard a lot of these great songs. Without his having a constant flow of Marley Marl mixtapes,
he's like a pipeline for like recruits to a football team, like, you know, Florida State. We got a pipeline up to New York,
right?
And that was him, and so that helped keep, you know, a lot of hip hop music going. Their wars and their beef, and you hear something on the radio, one of them talking trash about the other, or some song would come on. They'd get freestyles from different artists to talk trash about the other radio station.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I think what we realize about rap music in general, when you look at its history, is that many times the growth of rap music was spurred by beefs.
Yeah.
Like the beefs, the answer records, the confrontations on records. Because, I mean, you know, there may have been times in other forms of music where people took little jabs at other artists or whatever.
Right.
But nobody was in your face and confrontational like that. Like it was in rap music. And that was something new. And it was so kind of out there and crazy at the time. You know, you can see how that would naturally appeal to kids, to teenagers.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, these dudes got on the record and said, you know, Shante got on the record and said, your daddy is a fairy. You know,
right.
Like, well, why would you even do that? You know what I'm saying? You don't even know these dudes, but
right.
You went at them like that,
yeah.
You know? And so, but you can see how when you're 14, 15 years old, in the 80s, and somebody's talking about somebody's mama or something on a record, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, like this is something that attracts people.
Right.
With the Bridge Wars, I think that that was another moment of expansion to a certain extent for hip-hop going forward, because people were, you know, like the whole story, ladies and gentlemen, as allegedly is, so KRS-One and Scott LaRock, Boogie Down Productions, so they had a song called Success is the Word.
Yeah.
But you can find it on the internet. It's not the best song by, and I think probably KRS-One would even say that. I think they were even calling themselves something else at the time.
Might have been, yeah.
So they take the song to Mr. Magic, who is the founder of the Juice Crew, and they wanted to be down, and allegedly they give the tape to Mr. Magic, and they want him to play it, and Mr. Magic's like, nah, I'm not playing it. Your song is trash. And, you know, and KRS-One was like, oh, Mr. Magic dissed us. I can't believe he dissed us. So they go back, and that's why I said it was an intentional misunderstanding.
Uh-huh.
They knew Shan wasn't talking about them, but this is an opportunity now to get at somebody who's down with Mr. Magic.
Right.
So you dissed us, so now we're going to make – you made a song called The Bridge, talking about Queensbridge.
Right.
We're going to do a song called South Bronx.
Yes.
And now we go from calling ourselves whatever they were on Success is the Word to now they're Boogie Down Productions, because everybody knows Boogie Down is the Bronx.
Is the Bronx, correct.
And that, you know, and they do South Bronx basically to the same drum pattern as The Bridge.
Yep.
And then that goes from there. And then, of course, Shan comes back, Kill That Noise.
Yeah.
And then BDP drops The Bridges over.
And
boom.
Yeah. And yeah, pretty much, yeah, stops. I won't say stops, Queensbridge and that crew, but it's one where they really have to take serious consideration as to, okay, this has crossed the line from,
right,
like, just back and forth beef to, hey, man, they out here trying to ruin people's careers.
Yes. Some of the stuff, you know, KRS-One is on there saying, you know, he talk about MC Shan, you need to get your homeboys off the crack.
Right.
You got dropped from MCA because this.
Right. You know, yeah. Like, you talking serious stuff.
Yeah. You know, and it's, again, this is, it's elevated now to a point where it becomes more personal and it's more confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it takes Boogie Down Productions from a crew that nobody ever heard of to the point where they can now, they put out an album, Criminal Minded, which is a classic, and they become, a KRS-One becomes one of the greatest figures in the history of hip-hop. And of rap music. And it's all spurred, and to his credit, Chris has said, when I say Chris, I mean KRS-One, folks. I don't know who wouldn't know that at this point.
For those of you who don't
know. Right,
Chris,
right. Yeah, but Chris says, you know, hey, Shan was the man at that time. He did not have to answer me. He could have ignored me. He chose not to.
Yep.
And because he chose not to, he took that risk. He kind of punched down, as they say, and as a result of him punching down, he got knocked out by the guy who was punching up. So you know, I guess you have to give credit to Shan for even taking that challenge, I suppose.
Yeah. Actually, today, though, that beef has been long since squashed. And, matter of fact, on Rappers on Danger, he's given, everybody is on the beginning of it, this long kind of drawn shout out in the intro. And Shan comes on and he says, you know, I want to give, you know, he's saying, you know, blah, 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 you know, and don't believe that hype because this is my man, you know, and he's talking about KRS-One.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of him saying, you know, yeah, the old beef from the old days is over. You know, be cool. And supposedly, they are still cool to this day. So.
Now, you know that recently, though, Shan, they kind of rekindled this beef because Shan had dissed KRS and KRS came back at him. But You know, it's not the same when it's 50-something-year-old guys.
True. Yeah.
Beefing on a record,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, it's just like, not the same. It's not the same energy. You don't have that same energy that
no,
you do.
No, not at all.
You know,
it's
a
like,
young cat.
Man, y'all go sit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like your old uncles fighting at the family reunion, you know.
Right. Y'all just don't turn over the grill.
Right. You're right.
You exactly. know, just don't turn over the grill.
You
that's
know how
all
better
we concerned
you did
with.
Rapping back in the day?
Yeah. You know what you did back in 77?
Right.
We don't really need that.
Yeah.
But but it's historic though because, you know, like we said, it launches the career of one of the greatest MCs ever.
Yeah.
And it also it's part of the quote unquote Bridge Wars, but the Bridge is would you say is that Shan's biggest record?
I probably would say so. Now I remember buying his album. I think that was his first
Down
album.
By Law.
Down by Law, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had some good songs on it,
it
but
did.
He will
it's
always
good
be
album.
Yeah, he would always be remembered for the Bridge. If you have any kind of old school hip hop playlist, if you don't have the Bridge on it, kill yourself. Well, not
right.
kill yourself, but you need to be a little more
at the very least. Place your hand around your throat and squeeze.
Squeeze just a little bit.
Yeah. Just cut off a little bit of oxygen.
Right.
Not all of it.
Not
just
all.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, but, and also with that, KRS-One, also this is Shantae on there.
Yeah.
She comes back at him. Remember she said, your name sounds like a whack radio station, which I thought was funny at the time.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, and there were others involved too.
And that's what I was about to say. Yeah. It actually helped. Like the Juice Crew get new members as time went on. They kind of, they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start building with members. They get like Bismarcky. They get Big Daddy Kane. They
right.
get Kool G Rap. They get Craig G. They have a lot
Master
of significant,
Ace, yes.
Master Ace, a lot of significant members end up being down with Juice Crew.
I think the biggest problem is, two things that I did from what I've heard and read. Well, one, Marley Marl wanted Kane to respond.
Uh-huh.
And Kane wouldn't do it because Kane said that Shan did not like him.
Yeah.
Shan used to always, he wouldn't even call him by name. He used to just refer to him as the new N-word.
Oh.
Yo, Marley, I'm not going to work with the new N-word.
Wow. Okay.
You know? So, and Kane actually knew KRS-One.
Mm.
I saw a video where he said that when he moved out of his parents' house, I think, to his first apartment, that KRS-One and Ms. Melody actually carried some of his stuff out of the house into the new apartment, and they sat there drinking beer and watching TV or something like that.
Wow.
So he was like, I don't have any problem with KRS, and Shan didn't really like me, so I didn't feel the need to get involved to respond.
Good point. Yeah.
But if you look at it, like, what would it have been like if it had been Kane versus KRS? You know what I'm saying?
True.
Or if it had been one of my all-time favorites, G-Rap.
Yeah.
Woo.
G-Rap is very he has a ruthless sort of style. He would like try to kill you with lyrics.
Yes, yes,
so, yeah.
He would.
So yeah, that would have been an interesting battle.
And I think instead who responded? I know Shantae had responded, but then MC Poet, responded, and because even with that, like you got, but it was the lesser people. It wasn't the people.
Yeah, right.
Who were
it wasn't
really
the main. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And a funny story about that. I just found this out a couple of days ago. So after Poet responds and makes this song dissing KRS-One, Just Ice, who is tight with KRS.
Yeah, right.
Just Ice is in Queens walking around because Just Ice was a legit gangster.
Yeah.
Walking around with a shotgun in Poet's neighborhood looking for this dude.
Well.
For like all day. I don't know how true that is, but I've read that, heard that rumor.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But if you know anything about Just Ice, you could see how that could.
True. Yeah. Yeah. There. Yeah. Certain individuals that are more than just rapping, they kind of reel
right.
with it. And
yeah.
He was one of those people. So,
he is definitely. But you could see even by the time they do Self-Destruction, Marley Marlin's in the video.
Yeah.
So you know that there's some level of reconciliation, I guess, by that point.
Yeah.
And that's what, 88, 89?
Yeah.
Self-Destruction comes out?
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, something.
Yeah. So around that time.
Yeah.
So then we move forward a little bit. Now, this is one I just want to touch on real quick, E, because I know, and you know about this one, too.
Go for it.
It's not actually a beef. Well, it is a beef, but it's kind of like a subliminal beef. And that's between EPMD and Rakim.
Okay, yeah.
So And both sides have said this is – see, this is one of the problems you have, too, and this is how things escalate. So when you have guys who are artists and they surround themselves with a lot of street dudes will push up a lot of stuff
right
to get started and put this thing into motion, yeah. You know. So remember, and I Ain't No Joke, when Rakim says, you can get a smack for this,
yeah,
right? And then – so what you're saying, EPMD says, smack me and I'll smack you back.
Yep.
And then so Rakim's crew in Long Island is like, oh, that's they talking about you because you can get a smack right. for this. And it was not about that at all.
The problem with, like you say, the hanger-ons and the people in the entourage is that they don't really have anything much to lose. They have everything to lose and really don't have anything to lose.
Right.
For example, like, yeah, if you're the hanger-ons of the artists, if the artists lose their stuff or get killed or whatever the case may be because y'all pushed up a beef, then guess what? Y'all lose out too. So yep. Y'all are steady pushing up a fight when y'all really aren't the ones that stand to lose anything. It's the Amen. Artists themselves. Back yep. down.
But they have gotten it pushed up to the point where – I know Eric Sermon said that they saw Rakim somewhere, and Rakim didn't really want to talk to them because he thought, like, you know, y'all are coming at me, and they had to talk it out and realize, hey, yeah. neither one of us was talking about the other one.
Right.
You know? But, like you just said, E, a lot of dudes that are around you, people in the streets, you know, people back home in the hood, they both from Long Island.
Yeah.
They want to push this up, like, oh, I know you're going to let them dudes say this and this about you, you know? And it's just, and it could have created a situation. Yeah, exactly.
It escalates to something way more than what,
right.
you know, it's just simply some words on a record that may or may not have had anything to do with the other person.
Right. So, that's exactly right.
Oh, you know, it's.
And that is, but that's just one I always like to kind of touch on because, I, you know, it's one of those almost beefs, I call it.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few of those.
Yeah, so the other big one, I guess you would say from the 80s, you would say LL and Mo-D?
Yeah, I was going to run into that one. Our engineer here, Daniel, has held up the 25-minute sign, so
yeah.
pushing our time. We're trying to keep you guys interested, so we're compressing our episode. So when we come back, I think that's one that we should talk right. about a little bit. That was a big one at the time too.
But before we end this, I just want to end this with a controversial statement. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but I believe, and I will always believe, that Kool Moe Dee won that battle.
Stop it. Stop
See,
it.
See, I know people are not going to Stop agree, but I'm gonna give my reasons why.
Okay.
On segment two. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to end this segment. Folks, thank you for listening. Make sure you listen to the next segment because we've got a lot more to discuss where these hip-hop beefs are concerned.
Indeed.
Oh, come on back. Ask yourself. Do you know the beef?
Come on. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The B-I-G, I put my key.